We had five children. Glenn, you didn't remember. I was 13 years old when a young fellow walked into my life one day and said to me, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Well, I've gone to church all my life." And he said, "I didn't ask you if you were a churchian, I asked if you were a Christian." You know, I'm 13. So I said, "Well, I've been baptized." And he said, "I didn't ask you if you were a Baptist. I asked you if you were a Christian." And I said, "Well, what is a Christian?" So he turned into the Word and took me to Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And 6:23 says, "And the wages, Lila, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord." And he went on to John 1:12, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my word," or any woman, "and open the door," well, this is it, the heart, "I'll come in to you and I'll sup with you and you with me." And on the heels of that, he said to me, "Have you sinned?" And I said, "No." So this young fellow said, "Put her to, or you're the first sinless person I've ever met." So he said to me, have you ever taken a pencil? And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you're a sinner." "Oh, that's a sinner." Well, he lived long enough to realize that I had many sins. But I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior alone because this fellow said to me something about faith, that I could accept Jesus Christ by faith. And I remember when I knelt by my bed at 2 a.m. one morning when I couldn't sleep because of what had been shared with me. I said, "You know, God, if there is a God, I want to do what this young fella explained to me." And he said that if I just come humbly into your presence, that you would forgive my sin and that you would heal my life and my heart and that you would wash my sins away. And I just want to do that by, well, I don't even know how to spell faith, but that's what I want to do it by. And do you know, God took me at my word as simply as that. And later, I told this young man what I had done, so he put me into the book of Proverbs. A chapter a day, a verse a day, a life a day. I had to witness to one life, one person every day. 5 minutes in prayer every day. And I can recall as though it were yesterday. And my gray hair, white hair, will attest that I have some years on this frame. I went home and said to my mother, "Mommy, what on earth do you pray about for 5 minutes?" I'm sorry, let's just let it go. 2 months before I was 14, I started going with this young fellow that led me to Christ. And if you think through the years my children haven't used that, you have another thought coming. But see, God had a plan for my life, and he has a plan for your life. And if you are in doubt, I would recommend that you take the 139th Psalm. The last two verses of the 139th Psalm says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me." What does he say next? And what? "And lead me." To what? Pardon? Girls, listen. He will do it. He will do it. And he will show you. Now here I am at 14. And I have 13 items that I had to check daily. Many zeros daily. Because almost the first thing that this young fellow said to me was, excuse me, ooh, you have iodine in your water or something. Was that above all else, I had to be honest. That God required honesty. 1,000%. Well, fortunately, I was born into a loving home. My mother was a marvelous Christian. My precious mother was a marvelous saint. And my wonderful, wonderful daddy was a minister's son. You know, you can be born in a garage, but it doesn't make you an automobile. Right? Daddy was born in a Christian home, but he hadn't been saved. And he was the apple of both of my eyes. I loved that man dearly. Both are home with the Lord and have been for over 20 years. But honesty was one of the very first things that we were taught in this home that I had the privilege of being born into, 3 girls and 3 boys. Came from a very large family, being a southerner. Now, the pattern of how God got me ready for his life work started at birth. Our home was most always filled with people sleeping on pallets, we call them, on the floor, anywhere. Never ever wrote to tell you they were coming, they just came. And you name the southern states, and I have relatives, and the last count living were 205. So, all my life, I never knew anything else. All my life, all my 18 years at home, I did not know anything but just serving others. Oh, I did it begrudgingly. Some were demanding. Others didn't care. Seemed like the children got what was left. I'm speaking of those that were visiting us. And God started, Dawson saw this. He's the young man I started dating. Or he started dating me. So, he didn't mention it at all that he saw it. And that he saw what was taking place as far as my relatives were concerned, but he certainly pointed his finger at my problem from the Word. You see, God had a plan for my life. We were engaged for 3 years, and Daddy said that we had to graduate from high school and give him 3 months' notice before we could be married.
Well, I came home and told Mother the night that I was engaged. We were engaged. But I waited until 3 months before our marriage to tell Daddy, although he knew it. I was in the 11th grade of high school when Dawson said to me one day, "Sweetheart, why don't we just take Isaiah 60:11 and claim it for our lives and for the home that God will give us?" Well, you know, when you're in love, nothing is ever, I mean, really in love, nothing is ever too early or too late or too long. You know, why you do this L-O-V-E, there isn't very much we wouldn't do for L-O-V-E. I mean, it's moral. So I said, I didn't know what it said. I had no idea. But I said, yes. So Dawson turned to Isaiah 60:11. "Lila, our gates shall be open continuously. They shall not be shut day or night." Why? Oh, you know, so that men and women, kings, queens, anybody can just come in. Sounds good, doesn't it? And so I said, yes. And I meant it. I meant yes. Isaiah 60:11. When you read the scriptures, put your name there, your own name. Make it very personal, because it is. Now, girls, listen. Some of you heard me say this. Will you bear with me? I am so glad that when Dawson asked me to marry him, he didn't say to me, "Now, we'll never live alone. One day. We'll never live alone." I'm glad he didn't say that. I'm glad he didn't say that we'll never have less than 12 live with us, and for 4 years we'll have 30. We did. Not counting company. They didn't just come in and visit and leave. They lived with us. I'm glad he didn't say to me that I would have to prepare 3 meals a day, that we would have 5 children, and that our 5th one would be an invalid, and they would never know our name. Isn't it sweet that the Lord keeps some things from us, and so it's just a step at a time and a day at a time? I'm awfully glad he didn't mention that. Now, girls, I'm awfully glad he didn't mention, you know, I'm going to be gone a lot. And you'll have to hold the fort alone. Many times that man said to me, usually said, buddy, if you keep your heart right, in my travels, we'll share and share alike in the fruit that God gives while I'm gone. And he knew what he was talking about, because when we were going together, he came to see me one weekend, and he said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I didn't get a letter. I received a letter. He was off to Baptist Theological Seminary, and then later to the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. And I said, you know, every Thursday I received a letter from him. And I said, well, I didn't receive a letter. He said, did it bother you? I said, yeah, it did. I'm not going to tell you how long I went without a letter. Tough training. And I can hear some of you say, I wouldn't take that for one day. And you know God knows that. You don't have to say it out loud, because he knows our heart better than we do. But see, God was trying to get me ready for the job he had ahead for us. And Dawson was 21 years old when he led me to Christ. When I was 13, he was 16 months old as a Christ one, Christian. I knew his friends. When he was a senior in high school, he was the president of our student body. He weighed 92 pounds. And I was in Third grade. I didn't
know him. I just knew that he was there, and I knew that I was scared to death of him. I knew that because he had a car that he drove up. And he sat in the back of the seat and drove it with his feet, you know. And so one day he threw watermelon. He and his boyfriend threw a watermelon right out at my feet, and I just was bloody from one end to the other. I ran home screaming, and Mother took one look at me and thought it was blood and went and called Dad at work, and he came home, got his shotgun. Can you believe it? That's the truth. Put me in the car with Mother, and if he had seen Dawson, he would have shot him. Can you imagine what Dad thought when he realized that this fellow that Lila's dating was Dawson Trotman, the man he was going to kill? And I mean, he was going to kill him. He did not speak more than one paragraph to Dawson the 5 years we went together. He said, hello, goodbye. But, I mean, he just couldn't tolerate him. You know why? Because he was going to be a minister. And he saw the handwriting on the wall that he was going to take my daughter. And she would do nothing but starve. I wish he could see me today. I don't look emaciated. And when Dad gave me away at the wedding, he spoke right up and out and said, I do. But her mother and I are hoping that the knot will not take because we want her home. Can you believe it at a wedding? I all but fainted. I was 18. And we were married 18 months. Our first son was born. Bruce David. He's 44 today. And really loves the Lord. Precious wife. And a son who will be 22 in May, my oldest grandchild. And he was 5.5 weeks old when Dawson drowned. And they have a daughter, 19, and she will be married in June. And the son is in the Navy, stationed in Saratoga Springs, New York, in a nuclear program. And then we asked God for a son, and then we asked God for a daughter. And he gave to us Ruth. Ruth Darlene. She's 42. Hasn't known 1 10-minutes in 16 years what it's like to be free of excruciating pain. Her spine, and now 11 discs, are gone. For the last 2 years, almost 2 years, that's been my sole ministry, taking care of her. And while I was home in January to our board meeting, she became critical. Her bones are deteriorating from her top of her head to the soles of her feet. And no doctor can give us the reason or the name for it. She has in both the palms of her hands the deepest scars I have ever seen from just suffering. She has very long nails. I have never seen anything like it. She has diverticulitis. She has an ulcer and ulcerated colitis. You feed one and it bothers the other. You know, I cannot brush her hair. I cannot rub her back. I can't rub her feet. If you touch the bed when she's in it, it just sends her. I've been in the school of suffering. And I have learned some things, girls. And I am amazed. Our subject today is servanthood. I am amazed at what Christians say to a person who's suffering and may be gone tomorrow or on the telephone. So I put all stop. Nobody can talk to her on the phone when I'm there. Only just her family. I just won't have it. Can't, you know, I have to live with her after the phone call. They're accusing her of this and that. She's been accused of liking to be waited on. She's lazy. When your mother left before, you went back to selling cars. You could do it again. You are a drain to your mother financially, but you like it, you know. Think, Christians. And it's been a test of my faith. And I want to tell you something. I wish I had known years ago when I was the youngest of your ages. Or no, I guess just any of you. All but Maydell, I guess. I think Maydell's 30. I wish I had known this. You know, I am to love you just like you are. And you know, for you in the room who walk with God and are Christ ones, you're to love me just like I am. But we don't do that, do we? We don't like the way she wears her hair. We don't tell her. But we talk about it, see? We don't like the way she walks. We don't like the clothes she wears. We just, you know how we do. But you know, I'm to love you unconditionally. Just that's what Jesus does. And we're to be Christ-like girls. And so I would add this, that if there's anyone in this room that has aught against a sister in this room or any other room, don't go to bed tonight till you make it right. But you see, God isn't through with us. And when you look at a girl, always remember, you know, God isn't finished with her. He isn't either. And he isn't finished with me. I've lived 64 years. And I just told Maydell in the car, she and I both were speaking about this. It's amazing to us the lessons that we have to keep learning, the same lesson over and over and over again. My oldest son, just before I left for here, took me in. He went just like this after dinner. Just he and his wife and I were sitting there eating. And he said, Mother, we have a rule in our house where we keep short accounts with each other and with God. There's never been a ruffle in our home since my children moved in with me almost 4 years ago. He said, Mother, you know, you're talking loudly. It was hard for him to tell me. Bless his heart. And he says, I'm just wondering if you shouldn't have your ears checked. Jeanette and I have just noticed it. And I looked up at him and I said, Son, I always have adored you, but never any more than I do right now, that you would be faithful to tell me. And I thanked him and said, as soon as I get back, I will have my ears checked. And I will. And I'll show them the results. So if you want to pray for me, pray that I'll have a soft answer. A soft voice. We're never too old to learn. And the best definition I know anything about for the word humility is keeping teachable. And the reason I'm going into a few of these things is because I have two chances with you. One this not just now and the other tonight. So I thought we'd do a little groundwork.
I have to do it in my own life, and girls, I can't do it just from conference to conference. It has to be a daily process with me.
And I have many things on a daily prayer list that are personal for me that I pray for daily. And one of them is that I would walk worthy of my calling in Christ Jesus. And the second one of them is that Lila, that I would know, Lila, this is the way. Oh, walk ye in it.
And our second daughter and her and George have four sons, 16, 18, 19, and 20. And the 20-year-old came to live with Ruthie and me in December of last year to get acquainted with the routine before I left. And he came to relieve me, get a job nearby, and take care of his mother. And he's a cook at a Denny's restaurant, which is a chain restaurant in certain parts of the United States, and California is one of them. And these boys have had 15 years of having their mother in pain and suffering, and the 16-year-old has never known his mother to be well 1 hour of any day since he was born. So these four boys know Jesus Christ is their personal Savior and are dedicated to the Lord, a miracle in itself. And their mother is the one they look to help them. And it's like talking to Dawson Trotman. She looks like him. She has the same intellect and hindsight and foresight and insight. And when I chat with her or talk with her or listen to her, it's just like I'm sitting talking to Dawson. She could run the work in 2.5 years of being there. I could spend 49 years and I could never run it. And that's not being humble. I just can't do it. It isn't one of my gifts. Of the two gifts I have, that isn't one of them. Then our third, we asked for a son, and he gave us Burke Dawson. And Burke gave us a run for our money. Dawson and I travailed in prayer for our children, and we shed many tears. And I often say that our husband, anyone married here beside Maydell? Raise your hand real high. Be proud of it. I'm married to the Lord, so I'll raise mine. All right, you girls, listen. Your husband isn't yours. Does that surprise you?
Oh, he's yours, but he belongs to God first. And if you haven't given him back to God, do it. And if you're like I am, or I was, I had to do it sometimes, several times a day, especially in the beginning.
And then I often say that our children are just loaned to us. And any tears that Dawson and I have shed for our children is just interest on the loan. And we've shed tears, and I still do. Our son, Burke, was 38 years old when he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I was in the home, his home that night when he came home from work. I said, well, but what about when you were 17? Dad led you to Christ. In December, before he left us in June, the following year, he said, well, Mother, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to hurt you, but I said, well, when did you hurt me last? You know, just go right ahead and say, you know, just say whatever you want to say. I'll take care of me. He said, I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 17, Mother, to get someone off my back. And that somebody was Dad. I can hardly wait, he says, to hug him. And tell him, face to face, what his life meant to me. And the 17 years that I had with that man
and lived in self-pity, feeling all the time that he was spending more time with other people's children than he was his own. And then he adds, but he wasn't. And if I had kept my heart right, he said, I would have shared in all the fruit of his life with other people's children. But I didn't. I'm the loser.
Has a precious wife who was saved at 13 under Jack Wurtson, but who turned. I've been praying for her for, 10 years. Because Jesus Christ to her was a political figure. Nothing more than that. Never once did I preach to them, and never once did I suggest to them, but just to live it. And I was with them often. Burke has a girl, 16, who is soundly saved. Then we asked God for a girl, and he gave us Faith Arlene. She's 37 and a mother of twin boys who are 12. Both of the boys were converted last June at our boys' camp. And I mean, if you want to see two hyperactive boys, come my way and I'll introduce you to Aaron and to Eric. And they can never, ever hear me tell about their Grandpa Dawson's death and his life. They never can ever get too much of it. And most any time I take them out for brunch, that's what the subject is. And then we ask God for a son that would be of an honor and a glory to his name, and if not withhold, and he gave to us Charles Earl Trotman. And we named him that to help win Dawson's daddy, who would he pray for 25 years, to Christ. And he lived 14 years. He died after Dawson died. Dawson died in 56, and he died in 59 in January. You see, you can understand when I say I'm glad that God, that Dawson did not say, you know, we're going to have 5 children and the 5th one will be an envelope. Do you know, part of God's plan for my life was to send to me a Chucky. Because, you know, Galatians 5:22 and 23 says that's the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the way you and I hear the fruit of the Spirit quoted. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, suffering, gentleness. You know, we don't know what they're saying. Just like when some people quote John 3:16. For God's love, they're embarrassing. Perhaps the only verse they know, and it's the most beautiful verse. Why be embarrassed? It's God's word. For God, they usually go, for God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten son, who was to believe in him, should not perish, but everyone, you know.